I'm Roland Jardine, and I'm from Mirabar Education Centre, a regional Victorian town. My poster was The Fate of the Universe, or How the Universe Will End and What Factors Will Influence How This Occurs. So basically, I picked three specific types of universe and geometric shapes that would relate to that. So a positive curvature, which would take a spherical shape, a flat curvature, kind of like a flat plane, like a paper, but in a three-dimensional area, or a negative curvature, like a saddle shape. And then I researched what effect each would have on how the universe would end, like how long it would last, and exactly what that would involve. So for example, a positive curvature universe that is spherical in nature is governed mostly by gravity and dark matter. And so as it is expanding, it is going to slow over billions of years, and eventually it will stop. Gravity will take over and the force will bring it back in. So everything will accelerate in the opposite direction as a reverse of the Big Bang, and eventually form another singularity known as the Big Crunch. It's probably the shortest ending and only could occur 10 to 20 billion years from now, but depends mostly on the force of dark energy, as the other two are largely involved on the force of dark energy as well. So a flat curvature or flat universe is probably most like to our own, or an open universe. So it's when dark energy and the force of gravity are relatively similar. Dark energy is still stronger, so the universe will be continually expanding, but it will always be slowing down because gravity will be acting upon it, but it will never stop. So it's an ever-expanding universe, but the rate of expansion is limited to an extent, and that would go on. Eventually it would just, after 100 trillion years or more, would just slowly, the matter would fall apart, stars would decay, as would planets, and clouds of dust would be just fade away into just lonely atoms, often kilometres or light years apart, and it would be a very cold death. The last one I investigated was a negative curvature, which is like a saddle shape. So the universe is expanding and at a constant or increasing rate, and that is where dark energy is empowered beyond gravity to a large extent, so it's much larger than the force of gravity, in which case the expansion would increase, but to such an extent that eventually all matter would be ripped apart in an event known as the Big Rip. It would be just torn apart, rather like the flat universe, but much quicker, and everything would become so far apart it would be unlivable, and matter as we know it would be vastly apart. It would never amount to anything again. That's another relatively quick end to the universe, and only probably 20 to 30 billion years as well. So that's what.
And it's not too long ago that we didn't know which of these options we lived in.
Yeah, exactly. So the most likely at the moment are the flat or open universe. Probably the flat universe is still considered, but the closed universe is the one that is least considered as an alternative, because as we know, the universe is expanding and increasing, actually, so it's kind of open, yeah.
So we're not going to end in a Big Crunch?
No, probably not.
Well, did you enjoy doing this project?
Yeah, it was very enjoyable. Like, I have a great interest in physics and astronomy in particular. And, it's just what I love doing. So
what did you have to do to get to this exhibition?
The year before, actually, I had an application for John Monash Science School Regional Exchange. So where we go for 3 weeks just to John Monash Science School in Melbourne, and we just learn how they teach there and what's different to our home school. And as part of that, we were to come back late term 3, maybe early term 4, and make a poster for their science fair and present it, which is mine here. And then as part of that, we were allowed to come back the year later into the International Student Science Fair this year and present again. So it's a remarkable opportunity.
Yeah, congratulations. You're meeting lots of friends?
Some new friends from England and other regional schools, and it's from Thailand and everything. Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us on the Space Show.
Thank you.
Hi, where are you from?
We are from India, that's specification, Uttar Pradesh, Lucknow.
I'm Chahat Singh.
And I'm Maryam Fatima.
And what was your study?
Well, our study is basically about how habitable are the areas of universe with respect to water. And we are basically researching on the terrestrial life that is on in the universe. And we have restricted our topic to water. Like, is the water habitable there? Not only its presence, but also the habitation matters. And so we researched about this. Well, we have done a comparative study between different objects in the universe, like Mars, obviously Earth, which is the only known planet till date to support life, and it's Mars, Europa also. Europa is the fourth moon of Jupiter, and there's always been, works, research is done to find out whether Europa is habitable or not, where it supports life or not. As we know, there are many factors that support life. That is, you can take oxygen, you can take water, you can take, maybe temperature there, atmosphere, or anything of that sort. But we have basically restricted our research on habitation with specification of water, whether water is available, and if it is available, if and habitable as well. It should be habitable also. So it's all about that. Yeah.
Actually, we have this abstract. It tells us about what we have found yet, and then we have this some questions, like whose answers are yet to be known, and then we have the research which we have done, conclusion, and future directions. We actually conclude that water is there on the surface of Europa, and it is there in that form which may support life, as it is on the surface of Earth. So maybe in 2020, now we have a Europa's Clipper mission which will be sent by NASA. So it is not known yet that is life there on the surface of Europa or not. But in 2020, when that mission goes, then maybe we get to know that yes, it is or not.
So you're looking forward to the Europa Clipper.
Sorry, you didn't get me.
You're looking forward to the Europa Clipper.
Yeah, exactly. We are mainly focusing on the Europa. That's the fourth moon of Jupiter.
Europa's Clipper mission is sent by NASA in 2020. So that will actually go, whatever they are going to search is about Europa. You know, they are going to go deep into the ocean, trying to go deep into the ocean and find out that is there any life, even in the form of microorganisms or not.
In the near future, when you are in charge of the Indian Space Research Organization, and the government has given you lots of money, would you like to send a mission to Europa?
Well, obviously, yes, because this topic has always intrigued us. And it's the most important thing ever. So we'd always like to do this. We're always interested in that.
It's very interesting for us, and we really like doing that. So we'll obviously, if we get an opportunity, we are going to do something.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
My name is Phumrap Hivisin from Chulalongkorn University, Demong Station Secondary School from Thailand.
And what was your study?
I study about relationship between star flux and MS.
And how did you do it?
I used to collecting 40 pictures from a telescope that in Chile, and use application APT to analyze the data and plot into graph and calculate the relationship.
And what did you find out? The result?
The result is F star flux divide star flux zero is equal to...
Okay, it's a mathematical function.
Yeah.
So you managed to find there was a mathematical function
affecting
the star flux.
Star flux is unit, is like a brightness of the star.
Yes.
Unit is like a watt per square meters, for example.
Well, thank you very much for joining. And your name is?
Chitipong Lapongpanish.
And where are you from?
I'm from Thailand. Why I did it? Because in the our world, is we know the present. And I want to know what is happening in the, like, and we know the past. I want to know the past to prepare the future. I make this project to prepare the future, what is happening in the future. My project is do about find the age of universe from the expansion rate of the universe by using the relationship between the red ship and this hand of the galaxy. The photo I have is I taken by Palm 8 telescope at Chile. And if I have a picture, the next I will use a photometry to analyze the photo. And when I have the data, I will use a formula to find the age of universe. In the conclusion, I have a age of universe is about 15 billion years. And I have an error 7.89% from the age of the real age of the universe.
Thank you. Hi, what's your name?
Hi, my name is Bruin Iyer.
And where are you from?
I'm from the United States of America, near Chicago.
And what brings you here to Melbourne?
I'm here to present my research on supernova neutrinos.
Well, first of all, what's a supernova and what's a neutrino?
So a supernova is essentially a stellar explosion that occurs from the core collapse of a dying star. And what this does is it releases gravitational energy in this huge explosion. So what we found was that 99% of this energy are converted into particles called neutrinos, which are small, almost massless, travel almost at the speed of light, subatomic particles. And these neutrinos don't really interact with much because they interact by the weak force. So you can have a neutrino traveling light years across the universe and never interact with anything. So on Earth, we have huge detectors for detecting neutrinos, the most modern of which is a liquid argon detector, which is a huge tank filled with supercooled liquid argon. So when a neutrino enters the tank, we're able to detect what the interaction looks like. So what I did was I worked with a neutrino event generator called Genie, which is a huge C++ software framework, which with a goal of being able to simulate neutrino interactions across all the entire energy spectra. So supernova neutrinos, supernova neutrinos are generally at lower energies on the spectra. So I worked with a model called the Strumia-Vassani model, and this describes neutrino interactions at low energy levels. So I inputted this into Genie, and then from this you're able to get a bunch of results on what the neutrino interaction looks like. So the interesting thing is there is a model called the Raghavan model. And well, when a supernova neutrino enters a liquid argon detector, it's going to interact with the nucleus of the argon. It interacts with a process known as inverse beta decay. And what this does is it will transmute a neutron of that nucleus into a proton, which excites the nucleus. So the nucleus wants to return to its ground state and releases photons. So this Raghavan model actually calculates the kinematics of these photons. And by inputting this into the generator and running this for thousands and thousands of events, we're able to tell what these photons look like. And the interesting thing I found was that for 10,000 events, every single time, the same four photons were released at the same four energy levels. And what does this tell us? This tells us that when we detect a supernova neutrino, well, when we detect a neutrino, we don't know where it comes from. But a supernova neutrino will have the same signature of those four photons at four energy levels. And with the trajectory of the neutrino, we can track it back and find where the supernova actually occurs. And by studying these supernova, we can gain information about dark matter, dark energy, expansion of the universe, and exciting things in physics like that. And this is just really amazing, I think.
How did you get access to the neutrino detector?
So I didn't actually work with a neutrino detector. I worked with the generator, which is essentially, simulated code. And I worked at the Fermi National Accelerator Laboratory with a mentor.
Fermilab.
Yeah, Fermilab.
Oh, I'd love to go there.
Thanks.
What's Fermilab like?
It's actually really exciting because you have scientists from all over the world coming to work on physics, which is just amazing. And you have
you know, a ton of different projects. A lot of them are neutrino-based, and some of them work with the particle accelerator as well, called Tevatron. And like, each floor has, like, a different department, so you can walk into a different floor and, you know, experience a, you know, a new, totally new area of physics, and it's just fascinating just being in that environment.
Oh, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.